Which brings us to the High Middle Ages. So much for that 400 years. Now let's do another 400 years. Approximately the years from 1000 to 1400. As I said, civilization and civility generally return to Western Europe. And truly, my friends, this is the real Renaissance. This is the real rebirth of Europe. Oh, what's bringing Europe back? A whole bunch of different things. At the very forefront are new, or should we say, rediscovered technologies for farming and food production. For example, horses are now again being bred and used to pull plows, as opposed to oxen. Apparently, horses are 3 or 4 times more efficient for pulling a plow than an ox is. Crop rotation is returning to Western Europe. Water and windmills for irrigation and milling, that technology is returning to Northern and Western Europe. And what happens with more food production? Populations can explode. And that's precisely what happens. When populations explode, my friends, many people stay in the countryside to farm, but many start congregating in other areas we would call cities. And cities are reborn during the High Middle Ages. Paris, London, Bruges, and Venice. Get that time machine ready. Paris is getting better every day. You want to aim it for about 1100 or 1200, you will find a most interesting place. By the way, 1163, there's a good year to go to Paris. That's the year that the cornerstone is laid for the Notre Dame Cathedral. Please, cities, let's dwell on this concept of cities for a second. A city is the ultimate in a specialized, interdependent, cooperative venture, the whole greater than the parts. In a city, one doesn't have to do everything. There are specialists to create clothing, to create housing, to move the offal, to bring in the food. And it allows us to specialize in whatever we can specialize in. And one of the specializations we see in cities is education. Paris and Cambridge universities are founded during this period. The Romanesque, that is, Roman arch-based architecture, and then Gothic architecture are born. Please, monumental architecture, the first monumental architecture since the fall of the Roman world. And monumental architecture is not just building big buildings. It's a statement of power. It's a statement of propaganda. Among those who are propagandizing themselves increasingly are the secular courts, which are growing tremendously during the High Middle Ages. We see during this period the first translation into vernacular languages of Greek and Arabic texts. We see a growth of vernacular literature, Boccaccio, Chaucer, and Dante. And we even see the Crusades, that extraordinary foreign policy disaster. Oh, the cynic, and not that I'm one, but I'll play the role for a moment. The cynic might suggest that the Crusades were a solution to a problem. And what was the problem? How best to deal with European overpopulation as a result of agricultural modernization. A cynical statement, yes, but one made by many historians. Now, the impact of this new world on music is profound. And the greatest single impact is the invention of composed polyphony, around 900 or 1,000 or so. Let me define polyphony. Polyphony is that musical texture in which there are 2 or more principal melodies being heard simultaneously. Again, a musical texture in which there are 2 or more principal melodies being heard simultaneously. Now, if you're going to be writing 2 or more simultaneous melodies, you've got to make all kinds of compositional decisions. The kind of decisions we don't have to make if we're essentially improvising a plain chant. For example, we need notation. We need to be able to write these ideas down. It's one thing to be able to orally teach someone a plain chant, but it's another thing to try to teach someone a 3 or 4 part polyphonic piece with each voice doing something different. I'm sorry, one cannot teach something like that orally. You need a notational technique. So during the High Middle Ages, we see the growth and development of music notation. We see the growth and development of the concept of composition as opposed to improvisation. Composition becomes the essential mode of musical creation. And of course, what happens when we compose something? What happens when you compose something?